97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Good morning to you. Welcome in. It's a Thursday morning, the 11th day of October. We're following coverage of this storm that has now moved through Florida and off the edge of the east coast of Florida, past sort of Cape Canaveral and Cocoa Beach and Satellite Beach down there, just north of Melbourne. That whole area, that whole swath from basically the Sarasota, Siesta Key area down there, and it moved a little bit north and east to head out over Cape Canaveral. And it left a path of destruction. There's millions of people without power, roofs torn off, trees down, lots of flooding. I have not heard any estimates of deaths yet this morning, or if there have even been any. The reporting I've heard,
there are some deaths in Port St. Lucie.
Okay, they have reported some deaths. I had not seen that yet. We're trying to get you an update from the folks at Fox Weather who are down there. And if we can get that this hour, we're going to bring that to you here. Coming up, we've got Jim Talent, former, of course, U.S. Senator, anxious to get his thoughts on all these conspiracy theories, I'm told, that are floating around about recovery efforts, storm recovery efforts. The president went on about it yesterday. Kamala Harris has been all in a Twitter about it as well. And at the end of the day, it's really strange how conspiracy theories generally turn out to be true. John Kennedy commented on that. We're going to get to that right now in our top stories, Carl. Please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Donald Trump is the George Washington of our moment, and it's going to require every one of us to win the revolution this year at home.
You got to vote. You got to get out there and vote. Locally, they're warning people to consider voting early because of the long list of items that are going to be on this year's ballot.
We could line all those guys up and shoot them. They clearly don't understand the way the world works. Did I say that? Scratch that from the recording. I don't want the deans hearing that I said that.
All right, all you Jayhawk fans out there, that guy's making you proud. A Kansas professor named Phil Locock, who wants to line up and shoot any male that votes against Kamala Harris because it must be misogyny.
Now the claims are getting even more bizarre. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene is now saying the federal government is literally controlling the weather. We're controlling the weather. It's beyond ridiculous.
Oh, let's find the craziest example we can and try to claim that it's not our fault. We're doing all we can. But we happen to know that's not the case.
I'll concede that we need some new conspiracy theories, but it's because all the old ones turned out to be true. Conspiracy theories up something like 37 to nothing.
John Kennedy, you got to love that guy. He's out last night. I think maybe he was on Hannity. I thought I heard Sean trying to ask a question in the background. And he's talking about the president, the vice president currently as well, saying that this is all, you know, Republicans, shame on you. I heard one bite from Biden last night, and I don't have it here this morning, where he said, what they're doing is un-American. It's un-American to question whether or not the government is telling the truth. Did you know that? It's un-American to question whether or not the people in charge of spending your money on disaster relief are doing so appropriately. No, it's not, Joe Biden. It's not inappropriate. And there are plenty of reasons to ask questions. Now, John Kennedy can uniquely comment on this because he was there during the response to Katrina. If you'll remember, George W. Bush, for whatever you may think of him now, was pilloried for how he responded to Katrina. It was completely turned into a political event with claims of racial undertones because he didn't do enough for the chocolate city of New Orleans. Remember that? The mayor came out down there and made that claim. When indeed the response to Katrina was much greater than what's happened with Helene, where there's been a wide swath of destruction across multiple states, not just one city, multiple states. Many more people impacted by this than by Katrina. But listen to John Kennedy explain this, please.
I'll concede that we need some new conspiracy theories, but it's because all the old ones turned out to be true. Conspiracy theories up something like 37-0. Here are the facts. Helene was a monster storm. We saw it coming. The federal government had time to prepare. It wasn't prepared. We don't have nearly enough soldiers and military helicopters rescuing people. During Katrina, we had 20,000 soldiers and 350 military helicopters. A week after the storm in Appalachia, we had, I think, 7,000 soldiers and maybe 100 helicopters. And you especially need helicopters in a mountainous area. Senators Budd and Tillis are so frustrated, they've asked Vice President Harris and President Biden to put an active duty military leader in charge. But so far, I don't think they've heard anything.
Yeah. Is this misinformation? I mean, just out of interest. They're spreading misinformation. It's dangerous. They get the FEMA director out there claiming that it's misinformation when you make claims like John Kennedy just told you. What's misinformation about that? He's stating facts about the difference between the reaction to Katrina, the response where George W. Bush was vilified, and the response to Helene.
Mm-hmm. I'll admit, I don't know a ton about this, where they're saying you can control the weather. I do see people sharing stuff. When Marjorie Taylor Greene was posting about this, people are in response talking about Ginger Z at one point was referencing cloud seeding and other weather modification projects that I guess have happened in the past.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's been done in the past, which is why it's regulated by NOAA. But I don't know if I believe that's what happened as it relates to Milton.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that for a fact, and CBS News reported on it, I watched the Nora O'Donnell report from 2013 about this amazing technology that they had where they could control the weather. They could seed clouds to cause rain, and they had ways of muting dangerous storms and all this other stuff back in 2013. It is science. They can do that. I don't know anything about what Marjorie Taylor Greene is claiming that had to do with this particular storm. But you can pick one example like that, but you can't change the facts of what John Kennedy laid out there. And Tom Cotton is kind of talking about the same thing. The feds can find the money to do this, but it's not misinformation. Listen.
Democrats accuse of being misinformation if it reflects poorly on Democrats. That's usually a pretty good working definition. The simple fact of the matter is that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the Democratic governor of North Carolina were overmatched by events here. They were caught flat-footed. Joe Biden was vacationing in Delaware. Kamala Harris was off holding glitzy fundraisers in Hollywood. And they didn't react immediately. When it was clear that this hurricane hitting in the Appalachians in northern Georgia and western North Carolina and eastern Tennessee would require a different kind of response than it would in coastal areas.
Yeah, absolutely right. Thank you, Senator Cotton. Very matter of fact and very true. Not misinformation, misjudgment on the part of this administration, the Harris-Biden administration. Because remember, according to Ron DeSantis, he had never heard from her as vice president during all of the previous storms. Now, all of a sudden, she wants to act like she's in charge. Well, then let her take the blame for this. Is what I say. Absolutely. I hope the people up there have long memories in the Carolinas and Tennessee and Georgia, for sure. Coming up, we got Tom Ackerman at the bottom of the hour. We're going to try to get you an update on the storm out of Florida in a few minutes as well. Stay tuned.
Now, Carl, I'm going to be humming this song all day long. I cannot not sing this song after I hear it.
You're welcome.
And happy birthday to DLR. 70 years old today, folks, for you Van Halen fans out there, like me.
Kim,
wow.
DLR stands for David Lee Roth.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I'll get this song in my head, because earlier I was singing Baby Shark.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. Speaking of which, Carl Middleman, as Kim and I came to work this morning, we come up past the Enterprise Center, and there's a bunch of people on the corner. Like, I see a crowd of people on the corner across the street from the Enterprise Center. And first I thought, gee, there are more homeless people than normal down here tonight. And then I realized they're all in blankets and sitting in chairs. And then I realized there's a line of them, and they're lined up from the corner all the way around into a parking lot. And I thought to myself, what the hell are they? Like, the homeless people must be thrilled because they're going to be over there begging for money and food and all this stuff from these people. Tell me again, Carl, why they were there.
21 Pilots is in concert, are in concert tonight.
But as I pointed out earlier, it's not, I mean, you have reserved seats at the Enterprise Center, right?
Not on the floor.
So all those people were out there at 4:30 in the
overnight.
Morning. Oh my God. I'm sorry. There looked like teenagers there. I would not want my teenager to go there when the homeless people are around begging.
Not a chance I would let my kids sit on the street down there.
They're there to meet their heroes because 21 Pilots, they sing a couple songs in the middle of the pit. Mark's dumbfounded at
not,
that.
Not that they'll get to actually shake their hands, but you know what they say about meeting your hero.
They'll always
you should
let
never
you down.
Do it.
I know you met me, Carl, but yes. That worked out.
Thank you. Everyone's happy now.
So, this is the only song I can think of
that I would
know from them.
Oh, I know this one. Mark, can you rap this for? Isn't it kind of a rap-ish?
Yeah.
Let's hear it, Mark.
I don't remember the words.
Biggest
remember
hit.
The song.
You could never get away from it.
I wish I found some better sounds no one's ever heard. I wish I had
let's get to the hook.
So is it sold out?
Yes. The people that love 21 Pilots, they are cultish.
Well, aren't a lot of fans though for these bands? There's always like a cult following.
I went a little behind the scenes kind of thing is I was listening to last time they were here about a year ago. I was listening to their crew talk, and they said, uh-oh, one of them came out the wrong side that he normally does. There's going to be a 27-page thing on the internet about it. They are very fanatical about every little thing that these two guys do.
It's only two guys.
Uh-huh. It used to be four, but now it's two guys. But they have a touring band, but I don't think that... I think it's just going to be the two of them today.
So just one more dumb question. Why were these people on the other side of the street by the city parking lot instead of over on the Enterprise side lined up outside of the door?
I would have to guess that security is keeping them away from being in line yet.
Huh.
So they are now on City Hall's
parking lot. And then they'll all rush over there at some point when they're allowed to
stand in line. As soon as they are allowed to be where they are.
Those
going
people
to
are going
up.
To be exhausted by the time the show starts tonight.
Mark, you were a kid once. You stayed up overnight to get tickets for stuff.
I never did
once,
that.
Once for Van Halen tickets.
I did for the Rolling Stones and for the Who.
Yeah.
I'm just not that person. I've never really even done the Black Friday thing. When people used to actually have the doorbuster deals where you'd all run in at midnight.
Yeah.
I've
now
covered
you can just do it
for,
on Prime.
I covered it for when I worked in TV, but I never actually was the person, I don't think, camping out. For 5 hours in the cold.
Now on Rumble, we're getting requests for 21 Pilots.
I did it for a Furby one time.
A Furby? Really?
Yeah, I did.
I forgot about Furbies.
I was in Ohio. My kid, the older two were still pretty young. And I drove over to the town mall in Middletown, Ohio from my parents' house. We were there around Thanksgiving. And I got in line with 500 of my closest stranger friends. And when they opened the door, we had to sprint down the mall to get to this toy store that when it opened its doors supposedly had 30 Furbies and I still didn't get one.
Really?
No.
Those were kind of creepy looking.
The one and only time I've done that.
You remember Tamagotchis?
No.
Really? Do you?
I remember Furbies.
Yeah. The Tamagotchi would go to, it was like a little handheld thing, and it was
an electronic pet.
Yeah, it would go to the bathroom and you had to clean it up and... It's weird.
Why are you getting requests for more of this music, Carl?
Because people on Rumble are fans of the cult. I mean, the 21 Pilots.
Well, good luck to them. I hope none of them get robbed down there overnight. That'd be a problem.
But seriously.
But it is David Lee Roth's birthday today.
It is, so we can be happy about that.
In 10 seconds, we'll play a Sammy Hagar song.
All right. A Sammy Hagar song. Thank you, Carl. Don't disrespect David like that. Come on. I like them both.
You can.
I like. I you can. You can like them
you
both.
You don't have to make a choice.
All right. Coming up. We'll get to Tommy Ackerman. We'll get him in the studio, maybe talk a little bit about the Blues early in this season, anything the Cardinals are doing. We were talking about Haim last night when I ran into Tom. We'll get to all that and more coming up.
A great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchorman, not Anchorlady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's. Reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
Tom Ackerman, nice to enjoy a cocktail with you last night.
Yeah, it was very good. Always good. And Kim, same. You know, great to hang with you guys. Being all in the same room, we get to chat with some of our great partners and sponsors and clients and each other. And, you know, it is nice when we all can kind of get together. We should do it more often.
We should do that more often.
Good times. I like that 360 Westport.
Yeah, it's nice.
I had never been there. It's a good spot.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Well, the weather also is perfect.
Yeah.
Kim and I could look down off the ceiling, off the building, and see the new Channel 4 building.
Oh, I didn't look and see. Right down below it. Yeah, they are right over there.
Yeah, I haven't been in there yet.
I'll give them credit with this. They've done some nice things at Westport. In the center area, the green area out there, they've sort of put AstroTurf, and there's a big screen where you can sit down and watch games, and I've not seen any of that. That's all brand new since I've been there.
I saw apartments are going up, so clearly there's interest in living over there.
Absolutely. So. They're doing good things with it, for sure. Yeah. You know, I saw the headline in the sports section of the Post today, and it poses a good question. Why number 21 Mizzou is playing a strange non-conference game at Massachusetts this weekend? I don't know who scheduled it that way, but Lord knows they could use a breather.
Yeah, well, you know, these kind of games worry me. Like, Indiana had one last week. They played Northwestern in that makeshift stadium. Northwestern's redoing their stadium. So they played in a lacrosse soccer stadium that held 17,000. Same size as what Mizzou's going to face here. And it just kind of brings you down a notch a little bit. Indiana had a good game against them, then just pulled away, beat them 41-24, good solid win. I would hope for the same thing for Mizzou, but I think you're going to see a little extra out of Mizzou here. Maybe taking out a little anger on UMass, which, you know, I mean, UMass is not a terrible team. They've been in every game they've been involved in. They have a good mobile quarterback who could give you trouble, but they can't match Missouri's depth, talent, size, speed, anything. So Missouri should go out and play as if they are Texas A&M again. You know, go out there and drop the hammer and get yourself right. You know, we always talk about how do you respond from a loss, and that's the true mark of a team. I think that it's hard sometimes to respond after a big win. We saw that from Alabama against Vanderbilt. It's easier, I think, to get yourself collectively fired up after you get embarrassed. And I hope that Missouri can do that very thing, because the SEC schedule is just going to get tougher. It is going to be very difficult for them if they don't get themselves together. Those games that we thought were cakewalks, like Auburn and, you know, some of these others, I don't know, man. I mean, every game on the schedule now, after what Texas A&M did to shake you up, is going to be daunting. Now, obviously, they have to go to Alabama. That's going to be a tough one. But Arkansas is on their schedule. Arkansas beat Tennessee.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to be careful here. It'll be a fun football season, though. I've been saying this all week. I love the college football the way it is right now. I love the parity. I like not knowing what's going to happen. I like the fact that there aren't, you know, seven or eight superpowers. There's actually a lot of teams in the top 25 that can win any given week. And so I don't know who the best team in the country is, and I like that feeling right now.
So this won't be a popular question for Mizzou fans. But given the fact that going into this season, we talked about the fact that they didn't have the most difficult of schedules in terms of an SEC schedule and non-conference schedule, if given what happened last weekend, if they win every remaining game, is it still enough to get them back to into the top 12 for playoff contention or not?
Oh, sure. If they only had one loss?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. They'd be in slam dunk. Yeah, they'd be a top 12 college football playoff team for sure.
Okay.
I mean, losing at Texas A&M is not a terrible loss. It's just the way they lost it was embarrassing. I mean, I talked about it, and a lot of people told me that they liked our talk. You know, a lot of people talk to me out in public and say, I love you on the Mark Cox show.
Oh, that's awesome.
Just so you know. But they heard us talking about Mizzou on Monday. And, you know, we're very honest. Nothing they did was good. I mean, I couldn't pick out one good thing that happened in that game in Mizzou. Not one. So you've got to figure out from the inside out. First of all, their line play was very poor. You have to protect Brady Cook. He is, according to Eli Drinkwitz, 100% healthy. So you got to give him protection. But the one thing Mizzou did not do, they didn't establish the run at all. And that's on the offensive line and the running backs and the coordinator and the coaching as well. Like, you got to run the ball, man, in football to set up your quarterback so that he can throw it. And conversely, you know, if you're the quarterback, you stretch the field a little bit and they start to back up and then you pound them with the run. I mean, Missouri's inability to run the football was embarrassing. So you got to do this against UMass. Line them up and stomp them. But yeah, if they were able to win, oh my gosh, at Alabama or something like that. Yeah. Now, if they have two losses, it's going to be a little tougher for them. But I think right now you just got to figure out how to play better as a team. When Missouri takes the field, they have most games the best player on the field. Luther Burden is the best player to walk into the stadium. You got to get him the ball. And you got to block for him, and he can block. He can. I would get him the ball as much as possible, maybe on an end around, and let him catch the ball in the slot or in the flat and run with it. Throw deep to him. He loves those two. You got to get him involved, but you got to run the football. And then defensively, Missouri, very poor tackling against A&M, and their line had no push whatsoever. They really have to look deep inside themselves and say, what was wrong with us? Why couldn't we respond after a couple of bad calls went our way? Why are we sulking? Why aren't we better in those situations? I would anticipate that they're going to come out in a great way here, but they have to sustain that in the SEC. They have to be a ferocious team to make it to the playoff. We can't even talk about playoffs. Until they start stacking some wins, convincing wins. You know, even the wins over Vanderbilt and BC just weren't convincing wins. You know, they have not played their best game yet, not even close.
I just hope we get some local team to do well. I mean, it's like we had City, which they didn't have a bad season, I guess, but they didn't make it to the playoffs. Of course, the Cardinals, I won't even go there. The Blues, we're hopeful about that. The home opener's coming up, I guess, next week.
I think they'll be fun. Tuesday night, they did really well coming back, right?
I think they'll be fun. The Blues, they did great. I mean, they scored three goals in a minute 55. I love how Jordan Kyrou is playing with Drew Bannister, just kind of letting him be himself and get out there, kid, and fly and make plays. And that should be fun to see them come home. They've got a couple of big games first before they come home, San Jose and Vegas.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with you. Local teams. Illinois is not bad. I think they could be a tough college football. I think their basketball team is going to be really good. I think Mizzou's basketball team, I want to see it before I believe it. I know SLU's team is going to be entertaining. But, yeah, I mean, college hoops will be a fun year. And then, you know, you turn around and see what the Blues do after the holidays is when you start to see if they're a real contender or not.
I think college sports is more fun to watch than, like, NFL or NBA. I enjoy watching football.
I love college football so much that by Sunday, I'm worn out. I mean, I'm like, Sunday,
particularly after last weekend, that was an emotional.
And I know I have to go run and do a sports cast, but you know, the NFL... There is not a matchup in the NFL that can do what you saw Vanderbilt, Alabama. There is none. I mean, if the worst team in the NFL, let's say Carolina, beat, I don't know, the 49ers or the Chiefs or something, are they going to rip down the goalposts and carry it down
the
street?
3 miles.
I mean, you know, it's the NFL. It's like, okay, yeah, they won. All right, next. I mean, there's just not that raw emotion like we see in college.
Yep. All right, I got to go. Crying all the way to the bank. All right.
Bye, guys. Thanks.
Bye, Tom.
Tom, appreciate that. Yeah, I would agree.
That's still impressive. Three miles and then dumping it in the river.
And that's why I've never been an NBA fan. I just haven't.
Well, they got all political. And, I mean, even the NFL did, too, and the nonsense they would write in the end zones and on the court, right?
Yeah.
About racism and all this stuff.
Well, that tipped me on the NFL. I would still be engaged when the Rams were playing. And then they got political, later and... I've never been a huge NBA fan. I mean, I've followed it, obviously, in the heyday of Jordan and all that, but I've lost a lot of interest in it these days because they're just like spoiled millionaires who don't play any defense, generally speaking, and they just want to go out and score 40 points a game.
I was going to say, speaking of the NFL, who I do support is Harrison Butker, and he will be in town today campaigning for Josh Hawley. This is the first political endorsement he's ever made. So this is kind of a big deal. And yeah. They have a bye week, so it makes sense that this is when they chose for him to come to, is it Cottleville?
He's going to be at Frankie Martin's Garden out in Cottleville this afternoon at 3. You have to be registered to get in to attend it. You have to be registered to get out there. But I guess you go to Hawley's campaign website. You could probably figure out how to do that if you wanted to go out this afternoon. It's going to be gorgeous, and Butker will be out there campaigning with Josh Hawley today. I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah, that's great. That's a good one for sure. All right, coming up, we're going to get to In Other News in just a couple minutes. Next hour, Jim Talent. I want to get his take on how this campaign is going for Donald Trump and whether or not he thinks all this storm damage in very red Florida and parts of very red North Carolina might impact this election. We'll be right back.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news,
Sum 41 frontman Derek Whibley, he wrote a new book called Walking Disaster, My Life Through Heaven and Hell. And one of the big details that is coming out of this book is that he details alleged sexual abuse by the band's former manager, Greg Norrie, who was 35 at the time of their meeting. Webley, who met Norrie when he was 16, claims Norrie coerced him into a sexual relationship while serving as a mentor during the band's early years.
Yikes.
Oops. That's not a good thing.
No.
I feel bad for this kid.
Are they still a band?
They actually just released new music. Actually, I heard it on the way in this morning. I
forgot about that band.
Yeah, not a good thing. It looks like attorney generals from 13 states and the District of Columbia have filed lawsuit against TikTok, accusing the platform of harming teen health by promoting addictive content. The lawsuit claims TikTok misleads users by portraying itself as a safe for children, despite features that allegedly contribute to mental health issues, excuse me, like depression, anxiety, and body dysmorphia. So it looks like all these attorney generals are going to go after TikTok.
Is Missouri part of it?
It was not on the list. No. Which actually surprised me.
Yeah, Andrew Bailey's usually big on that.
Yeah. We'll see if it actually sticks. I doubt anything's going to come of that, but you never know. It looks like Honda is recalling nearly 1.7 million cars and SUVs in the U.S., including certain Acura Integras, Honda Civics, CRVs, and HRV models from 2022 to 2025 due to a steering issue that could increase crashing risk. The problem stems from an incorrectly manufactured steering gearbox assembly, causing excessive internal friction and quote-unquote sticky steering.
Don't they do a ton of tests on these vehicles?
No, they don't. A series
of checks and balances.
Not anymore.
This fall through the cracks when they're brand new models? You mentioned 2025?
Yeah, 2022 through 2025.
Direct your questions to Boeing, please.
Okay, Boeing, are you listening? Yeah, I would ask you the same question.
How do doors fall off of airplanes in the middle of the air? I don't know.
They just do, Mark.
Yeah,
they just do. Amazon announced it will expand its national pharmacy network in 2025, adding 20 new pharmacies to existing infrastructure. This will enable same-day prescription delivery to nearly 45% of U.S. residents. Now, unlike traditional walk-in locations, these new pharmacies will be embedded in Amazon's same-day delivery sites, facilitating faster medication delivery directly to consumers' homes.
Okay, but how do you prove it's who you say you are? Let's say you pick up somebody else's prescription from a doctor, because I'm assuming you have to upload a picture or something. There's got to be something in place to make sure that you're not just saying, oh, yeah, I need OxyContin, and then, boom, they're sending it to you. Huh. Right? So, okay, let's say you have to upload. I mean, who's to stop somebody from finding somebody else's prescription, uploading it, and saying, I'm getting it for so-and-so?
Good
question. Like your mom, who doesn't have Amazon and doesn't know how to access the account.
They must have some safeguard.
They say it excludes Schedule II controlled substances and certain specialty drugs, so those just aren't even available.
Hmm.
It says the pharmacies are open 24/7 with access to licensed pharmacists, so it might be a thing where you're doing kind of like a Zoom call with a pharmacist.
All right.
I don't know. I have questions.
You always do. Family premiums for employer-sponsored health insurance rose 7% this year, marking the second consecutive year of such an increase. According to the Kaiser Family Foundation, family premiums now average $25,572 annually, with workers contributing about $6,296. For single coverage, premiums are up 6%, with workers paying about $1,000, maybe a little bit more than that. Health insurance costs are rising faster than wages and inflation. And KFF survey, which concluded over 21,000 employees, found that workers' costs haven't risen as sharply as employers' expenses.
Wow.
I don't know about that.
That's sunny. That's a sunny outlook on things.
I'm glad we ended on that upbeat note.
Vote.
Yes.
Vote in less than a month. About 25 days now. Holy cow. Hey, coming up, we'll talk to Jim Talent about how these hurricanes and the weather problems and the recovery might impact the election.
Get more at 971talk.com.